Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
This is Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max coming to you live from the Seaport District of Pier 17, brought to you by Chase. Guys, everyone wants in on the quarterback.
Let him have it.
Everybody wants in on the quarterback convo. But, and we're going to get to some calls. 888-SAY-ESPN, 729-3776.
One of my favorite songs.
Yeah. But, one of my favorite artists. That's who sings my favorite song.
Oh, see, you did it to yourself just then. You did it to yourself just then. All right. So
somebody
I talked
hijack
about
Yates
before. Yeah, where Yates, are you? You're right.
It's just the open. I ain't pressing.
All right. We were talking about how there's been a comparison between Lamar Jackson and Jay who?
Giannis.
And Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Giannis.
So
like Prince.
Baker Mayfield has not lived up to expectations in terms of being the number one overall pick. Right? He's a good quarterback. But he was the number one overall pick. His rival in his division, Lamar Jackson, has surpassed any expectation you could have put on him. Because unless you said he's going to be the best player in football one day and also like be something that we really never seen before on that level, like he just has to win a Super Bowl now, right? That'll be it. Key, why does it feel like the goalposts keep getting moved on Lamar, because Jay, I know you think the same thing about Giannis.
Well, first of all, I think it goes all the way back to college, and then it goes back to a very well respected general manager, Bill Polian, who, you know, is just like one of my good buddies. That when Bill said that he probably should play another position potentially, that went crazy. People went crazy. And so when you start that with a well respected general manager, Bill Polian, as well as college, when people start to say, okay, he's not in the top three quarterbacks, and then that draft comes and he goes at 32, and you start to look at all that, and people just start to move the goalposts. Oh, well, he can't really throw. He can't do this. He can't do it. But every single game, every single week, every single year, you move the goalpost 5 yards, he moves it up 20. Then you try to move it back another 25, and then he moves it to midfield.
In other words, he so surpasses what the goalpost you
set.
Yes,
it's like you set it up at the 2-yard line, he moves it to his 2-yard line. Then you say, well, he threw an interception. Then you move it into the stands, and then he gets it back to the 20. And you just keep moving it instead of leaving it where it belongs and enjoying it and saying, damn, he's special. Mm-hmm. He's really special. Mm-hmm. Where he started, right? 32 pick. But here, I'll throw one in there. Bam. The little guy, Mighty Mouse,
Kyler,
who I've learned to love in Arizona. The goalpost has never moved on him other than his size, because no one ever said he shouldn't be a quarterback. No one ever said, why don't you go play baseball? He was the number one overall pick, and his team is 6-0. So no one's moving to go. Doing the same.
Know why, though?
Doing the same damn thing Lamar doing.
I think that's because Lamar preceded him. When you have a trailblazer, when you have a guy who's doing it at a certain level, then that paves the way. Now people say, oh, you can play and win that way.
No, but I also think it's where he was drafted. I also think his style is
air
way different.
Air raid offense in football in
it's
college, too, makes you look very
different.
Accurate.
It's way different. Lamar looks different. Lamar doesn't care about all the commercials. He ain't trying to be the statue quarterback, even though he looks pretty damn good in the pocket, Jay, because that's what they wanted him to do. It's almost like Giannis in basketball. Y'all wanted him to shoot jumpers.
And he did it.
And now he's shooting them, and you're trying to move the goalpost again on him. Or would it be not the goalpost? It would be the basket.
The basket. That's why I said Giannis is the Lamar Jackson of the NBA, right? Because the goalpost does get moved. You talk about Lamar Jackson was drafted, what, 32nd, 33rd?
Yeah.
Giannis was drafted 15th, right? Both guys are freakishly athletic. Both guys have unorthodox games. We wanted Giannis to shoot free throws. He's gotten better over time. You want to see Lamar Jackson throw outside the numbers. He's always been able to do it to a degree, but now he's gotten better over time. And here's the one thing that people will say, well, Lamar Jackson jumps off the screen when I watch him play. It's just so dynamic. It's so entertaining. And some people, until Giannis had his 50-point game in the NBA Finals, people didn't find Giannis to be entertaining. But let me tell you something. Those are people that don't get a chance to go to the game and watch the game. If you stand or sit courtside and you watch Giannis, You see that he's 7 feet tall? How his ass can move from side to side? The Euro steps, the dexterity of with his hands around the rim, the way he can block shots, it jumps off the court. Like, it's astounding
so he's a guy,
to watch.
He's a guy you're
person.
Saying in person. You don't really fully appreciate it until 1,000%. You see the physical spectacle in person.
1,000%.
And by the way, here's another similarity with these guys. Giannis is a hybrid kind of player. He's sort of a big dressed up as a wing because for a wing or a point forward, he doesn't have incredible handles. But for a center, which he really is, he has the greatest handles. Like,
point
you know,
center.
It's unbelievable. Point
yeah.
center. And Lamar also, like... Like, Key, you've talked about Lamar. When people compare him to a running back, you're like, that's okay. He that's an okay comparison.
So just yeah. This is exactly my point. It just showed Giannis Euro-stepping yeah. on KD in transition and laying the ball with his left hand. And Key's reaction just looked at me and just like, ah, just waved his hands. Like, I can't rock with that. That's exactly my point. You see it on TV, you're like, ah. But when you see it in person, you're like, damn.
I like it.
How much ground?
See, you know
so
how
quickly?
I am, Jay. I like it. You 8 feet tall, man. You're going to be at the rim. So it's not giving me what I'm looking for. If Westbrook had did that or Kyrie had did that and got to the cup, I'd be like, wow, man, they got verts. They got hops. Giannis do it. It's like, yeah. And that's wrong of me.
That's the way bigs are looked. In other words, that's the way
like,
bigs are looked.
But
bigs don't
of me,
move like that.
Like,
that's the thing.
Bigs don't move
it.
Like that.
I get it. But I'm looking at it and I'm sitting there going, if James Harden did it, or even KD did it, I'd be like, cool, it looks good. That just looked too
no,
easy.
By the way, KD doesn't move like that.
I understand that, but...
I just want to say,
say that again.
KD doesn't move the footwork. Like, KD's footwork is different. Like, KD's footwork is out of the, like, reverse pivot, jab. Like, the skill work is off the charts in that capacity. But while in transition, the way Giannis can shift his body
yeah,
and the muscle, it's a different kind of footwork that KD doesn't have actually in his game because of the body frame, the mm-hmm. body type
yeah,
that's
I'm
more
not,
suitable for Giannis.
He's
I'm
unique,
not
Giannis.
Ever
yes.
used to seeing a big dude do that, but when I see him do it, he's 8 feet tall with a wingspan. So I'm like, ah, that's pretty easy.
All right.
Opposed to somebody
but it's
smaller.
Not
that. I know
yeah,
that.
I feel you.
But my eyes are telling me something different.
We are going to get to some calls on the Dr. Pepper call-in line. We're talking about this. We're talking about some of the greatest
that.
QBs of all time. Some of this, some of that.
Sound like a rap.
You know, where the modern guys land compared to them. It started out by me saying if Rodgers winds up in the AFC West next year, that'll be the greatest quarterback division ever. Key came up with some counterexamples. I think they're all comparable, actually. Pepe in West Palm Beach. What's going on?
Good morning. I have to go back to yesterday real quick. Jay and Max, I'm from New York, been in Florida 40-something years, but I got to say something. When I hear out of Max's mouth about you rooting for the Dodgers, being a Yankee fan, and from Jay saying Cody Bellinger is a Mr. October like Reggie Jackson.
Oh, I didn't say that. No, I didn't say that. I never said he was a Mr. October. Like,
no, Key said.
I said he's a mini Mr. October for us. And Jay said, "What is that?" And I explained to
yes.
Jay, Reggie Jackson was ridiculous in October. A mini Mr. October, mini, not the full bar, but just a yeah. small bar.
Nothing wrong with what Key said. And by the way, me rooting for the Dodgers. Let me explain something very carefully.
God, I lived in LA for 6 years.
The Yankees are my team, 100%. When your team is eliminated, you then look around. Okay, if I'm going to have a rooting interest, who is it going to be in the National League? I root for the Dodgers.
Yeah, I don't do that. I don't root for anybody.
You don't root for anybody?
No.
So you just stop watching baseball?
No, I didn't say I stopped watching.
Well, I mean, you
got to
have some rooting interest.
Yeah, I'm not. Yeah, Dodgers out, I'm out. Sorry. I'm doing it for work. Other than that.
I went to L.A. to host Afternoon Drive for 6 years.
I love you.
Don Mattingly was the manager.
Justifying. I love it.
Don Mattingly was the manager, and I don't have a National League team. So I took up the Dodgers. I have no problem with that.
I'm with you.
And they used to be from Brooklyn. But they're not anymore.
Look at you claiming.
If your city has two teams, you cannot root for both. You have to choose one. See, Key, you think you could root for both. If yours drops out, you could root for the other team from your city.
No, that's not what I do.
He would never root for the
you
Clippers.
You said that like a week ago.
No. Hold on, Mixie. Just chill.
Mixie, see? Messed up my name.
No, I said Maxie. So if the Lakers are out, I'm not touching the Clippers. I'm moving to the Bay.
Right. Oh, to your state still.
I'm moving in the state.
Okay, all right.
If Fair. USC is out, I will never touch UCLA. Okay? The Dodgers are out. I don't care if the Angels win or not. the Raiders are done.
You don't care, or you root against them?
I don't care. Whatever.
If the Mets are playing, I actively root against them.
I don't care. The Angels is not, even though Orange County is a part of California, it's almost like a separate deal.
Yeah,
I don't care.
If you root for the Cubs and the Cubs aren't in it, you root against the White Sox. Yeah. That's how it works. It's
supposed
to work.
But I would rather see my state win than another state.
Okay, I can get with that.
That's fine.
I can understand that.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
We're asking you on the Dr. Pepper Twitter feed, which NBA player we're moving the goalposts on? Jay brought up Giannis, and maybe there are others.
Moving the goalpost, you mean
moving the basket?
The basket,
yes.
Yeah, the basket.
Yes, but the goalpost is a universal expression.
It
doesn't just
work
for football.
No, it is, but
yeah.
I had to correct myself.
Moving the
goalpost.
Moving the basket.
The basket,
Right. Tram says, easy, it's James Harden. Man gets written off every year, and the goalposts move for why he isn't the MVP. This ain't even close. Here's the thing about Harden.
Not really.
Well, he's won MVP.
He's won MVP.
Yeah, no.
Well, people get mad because some people feel like LeBron should have won MVP that year that James Harden won it. Is that what he's saying?
Yeah, but he's saying James Harden doesn't get enough credit. With the things that he does, he doesn't get enough credit. He should consistently win MVPs, and that's not true. Man, how many damn MVPs you gonna get a bit?
We call this man the most innovative player the game has ever seen.
Here's my issue with Harden, and I thought he was the best player game for game in the regular season last year. I thought easily he was the best player game for game. I was so impressed. But in a league where you have 30 teams and 16 make the playoffs, and now an additional two make the play-in, so you have the season's over, and you got 20 out of 30, two-thirds of the league is still playing. You cannot make a determination on the most valuable player till the end of the postseason because that's where the games get meaningful and most teams get there. And if you're an MVP, of course your team's going to be a top 10 team.
But that's what I told Jay last year, this past season. I was like, won't they just do the voting when the playoffs is over?
No doubt.
I'm with you on that.
No doubt. And if you did that, Harden wouldn't get MVP. That's my issue. Those are the highest leverage games because Harden has consistently not been as good as he normally is in the playoffs. He has too many.
Well, you can say that.
Help me out here, Jay, because if I can remember his playoff runs in Houston.
They got to the NBA Finals a couple times, with the exception of the fact when they were up 3-1 versus Golden State and they lost that one, which was an epic collapse. I hear what you're saying, though, Max, but also recognizing that, like, LeBron James, you can make a case that LeBron James should win a lot more MVPs than what he's won.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Because LeBron single-handedly has carried a lot of teams
to the championship.
Yeah. Yes. But James Harden's gotten pretty damn close, man.
Harden's, no one's arguing
Harden's
not a great player.
For the style of play and the amount of minutes he's had to play and the loads that he's had to carry.
Yeah, maybe outside, maybe outside of LeBron in the playoffs, dude is right there. I mean, the normal cast of characters, Jay, LeBron, KD, Steph, those are your perennial playoff guys. Kawhi was in the mix a little bit there. But those are your perennial playoff dudes from beginning to end for the most part. Those are the ones that's cooking.
No doubt. But the point is, until the end of the season, the real season, meaning the postseason, you just don't know who the MVP is. And, like, so you take a team like Golden State. They were so stacked, LeBron didn't have a shot. No one had a shot against that Golden State team. Harden got close. You're right, Jay. He deserves a lot of credit for that. They got to a game seven. Then he went ice cold, and they lost.
Dude, but he's
right?
averaged 27 points, 8 rebounds, 8 assists and 5 rebounds in 85 playoff games.
But that's everything is off his normal numbers. Like, there are players who are great
tick,
and do
though.
More than a tick.
No, he's averaging. What's his regular season career average, Jay?
I don't know what the career average is, but it's legitimately up there.
There at 30. Okay, so let's say it's at 30. Max. That's a tick off.
We could look it up.
Yeah, it's not. He's not.
But wait, Max. So you're saying that you only name the MVP for the person that wins the championship? That's
no,
MVP?
No. That's different. So for example,
he's saying that throughout the regular season, I get it.
But his numbers are still off the charts in the playoffs. But you're saying
not off the charts. They're really good. They come down off his – like
27 is not off the charts.
But it's not an issue of
– his career average is 25.
But career average also when he was a sixth man. I mean, look what he did in his prime. He's giving you 36, 8, and 7 almost on average. And then that comes down in the
playoffs. Career average is 25.
Yeah, but that, average is 25. But that includes when he was a young dude coming off the bench.
That doesn't matter.
So wait, go back. Tell me, what's your argument again?
My argument is when James Harden hit his prime and became an MVP caliber player,
yes,
he was one level in the regular season, which was sometimes the best player in basketball. But MVP should actually reflect that. And what everyone knew by the end of the season, given what transpired in the postseason, is he's not as good as LeBron James. LeBron James had more value because Harden's performance in the playoffs when he was in his peak – when
he's still
once
in
he
his
hit
peak.
Prime levels, right? Once he hit his prime levels, but consistently came down in the playoffs.
So is your argument that LeBron James deserves more MVPs than what he actually has?
Absolutely.
Well, I'm in agreement with you on that.
Of course.
Yeah, and also,
but I'm not going to allow you on national TV and radio to diminish how special of a talent James Harden is because his numbers went off a tick.
It's
with the exception of an epic collapse. I get the epic collapse. I get that. Yeah, and being up 3-1 against Golden State, I mean, that was a hard collapse.
Like, think about it. He in one season, I believe, he only averaged 35 in one season. It was high. 35.
No, he led. I'm looking at
he's
the numbers now.
He's averaging 27 in the playoffs.
He led. There were 3 seasons in Houston where he was over 30 points a game and led the league in scoring.
Multiple scoring champs.
But also, even the advanced numbers, he was a more efficient player and a better player in the regular season than the playoffs.
Can we talk about the roster in which he was doing that with and how far they went?
No doubt. He deserves credit for that. But you have to weigh everything together. And when you do, by the end of the year, you come to the conclusion he wasn't really the MVP this year. LeBron was, or KD was, or someone else was, which is why Harden's not considered the best player in basketball.
But can't you factor
in? He ain't considered the best player in basketball because of KD and damn LeBron.
Right.
But can't you also factor
That's my
in?
Point.
Can't you also factor in for KD who KD was playing with? On those teams, like playing with Steph and Draymond.
No doubt.
Like that's a
so. No, 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 of course,
they get to the championship game. You're saying, well, James doesn't deserve to get the credit because he went against a super team.
Let me ask you this. If I took KD off Golden State and I placed Harden in there, what would happen?
They would win championships.
They kill everybody.
Okay, so what are we doing?
That's
what are we doing? Okay, so let. I'm not talking about KD. The reason KD didn't get as much credit for winning championships in Golden State as some other guys got is because once you drop an MVP player onto that Warriors team that had just won 73 games and came within a possession of winning the title, that team basically can't lose. Your best argument for Harden is the one you made. Harden took a Rockets team against that stacked Warriors team with KD and got to a game seven. That's the best Harden argument there is. Now, he went cold in Game 7.
He did go cold in Game 7.
The whole team did, but they were also down Chris Paul. And I think they would have won that game had they had Chris Paul. That's the best Harden argument. There were a lot of other postseasons where you go, damn, you know, that.
Well, Chris Paul has struggled throughout that whole series.
Ain't no difference between 27 and 30 to me. But anyway, let's take a call.
Rick in Louisville. You're on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio.
Or not.
Rick?
King says on the Dr. Pepper Twitter feed, Russell Westbrook easily goalposts being moved. No explanation needed. He's an MVP and a winner, but he gets killed because of the way he plays, which is dumb because he plays hard every play and has been effective over the years.
Solid.
I agree with that.
Yeah, solid.
I mean, Giannis and Russell Westbrook are the two guys that you never need to worry about what kind of energy they bring to the table each and every night. And I think people undermine how difficult that is to do on a day-to-day basis with their talent.
Westbrook is my favorite player. I'm not saying he's the best, but he's my favorite because of that. It's like watching a Mike Tyson fight. Ding, ding, round one. That dude is coming at you, and he will never stop.
All right, let's take another call.
Good idea. Greg in Florida. You're on with Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio.
Or not.
Come on, Greg.
What's up with the calls today? Like, we got a whole
Pat, do you know how to operate the board? I mean, like, come on, man.
I mean, I don't know. I screen the calls. They sit there. We go to them, and they don't answer.
All right, take another call. Let's punch a
button. You got to tell them, be ready.
Can you hear me?
Oh,
there you go.
Welcome to the party, Greg.
I'm sorry, guys. I'm sorry.
Roll up your window.
I thought I would pour out of Memphis.
Roll up your window.
Hold on, Greg. What you say?
How about I would pour out of Memphis? He a young boy, and they keep moving the basket on him. He ain't been there for 2 years.
John Morant?
Yes, sir. He gonna be the Knicks and better than Jordan. Trust that.
Well, better than who?
I don't know.
Wait, yeah, pardon me. Who?
Jordan.
All right. But, go get some barbecue.
It's hard for me to make the argument that the goalposts are moving for Ja Morant because he's so young in his career.
Ain't no goalposts moving for no like, Ja, man.
He's
Stop.
Coming, though, man. He's coming. You see, him last night? He's coming.
Yeah, I saw that dunk. What happened to the other call?
By the way, Jordan, just because we're on the topic real quick, he had the highest scoring average in the history of basketball, right? 30.1 points a game. He's a guard in an era where they didn't shoot a lot of threes. In the playoffs, his scoring average went up, and I'm looking at 33.4. Mm. The greatest ever against better competition when it mattered most got even better. That's the highest level there is.
You do realize he's shooting more, too.
I don't know what. I don't know why. Who's making Yates? You better stop making those sounds about Michael Jordan.
He's shooting more. Ears, bro.
I mean, I'm part.
Come on, though, man. Y'all
I've already said this. I'm part of the camp. I think LeBron James is the greatest player the game has ever seen. I've stated that.
For the record, Michael Jordan never played with another All-Star until Scottie Pippen made an All-Star game, right? That was the first time he played with one other All-Star. They took the Pistons, who were the defending champs, to Game 7. They lost because Pippen had a migraine.
Let me just finish the thought.
After that, Jordan never didn't win the title again in under seven games.
You go, Jay.
In one All-Star.
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
The game of basketball, mm-hmm. is it better now than it's ever been before? The talent?
Yes, I would say so, yeah.
Okay. So winning against this talent, how do you compare that to the talent of the past?
I would say what I told you earlier. It's you can judge people against how they played against their contemporaries. Now, you can say who were their contemporaries, but it's not like that was a bad league. It was a good league. It's not like it was like the league that Wilt Chamberlain dominated. It was a much better league than that.
I get it.
I wasn't born when Wilt was playing.
I'm not even going to go into this whole LeBron. We've had this conversation so many times about LeBron, Michael Jordan. I'm not even going to dig into it.
No, you're right.
I'm not going to dig into it anymore.
No, there's no.
Your turn to go. Go ahead.
No, because I don't want to have arguments. We're not right. First take.
All right.
Right.
We have civil discourse.
We just agree that Jordan was the greatest and we'll leave it at that.
Because that will turn into the whole damn show. You and I will go the whole damn show about that.
It's really hard for me to listen to you guys talk about basketball. That's all.
We're going to continue this conversation about the goalposts being moved on Giannis. The callers keep taking us in other directions.
If they pick up
if they say something, it's always not on topic. Plus, if the Bucks have the ability to repeat as champions, Jay, that's after SportsCenter. Now it's time to get off the evergreen, or who's better than who, and get back to what's going on today, guys. Lisa Byington, Bucks TV announcer, joins us via the Goodyear Hotline. Brought to you by Goodyear, with you for every mile on the road to greatness. Goodyear, more driven. Lisa is also the first woman to be a full-time play-by-play announcer for NBA games. Good morning, Lisa.
Good morning, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Great to
bright
have
and
you.
Early from Miami.
How excited are you going into your first season of the Bucks play-by-play announcer?
Well, I mean, obviously, you guys can imagine, super excited. I mean, first and foremost, you know, the Bucks are obviously the top of the NBA world in winning the championship last year. But there's a reason why they went about it the right way, and they've just been a first-class organization. I walked in media day training camp kind of at the end of September, and I was looking around, and I told a couple of Bucks employees in the front office, and I just said, you know, there's just no a feeling of entitlement with these guys, you know, for a situation that might not be easy to walk into. I would say that this franchise has made it very, very easy for me to walk into.
Lisa, do you think this opportunity that you've gotten is going to open a door to other female broadcasters to be the voice of respective NBA or NFL teams?
Well, you hope so, right? I mean, a week after, I think it's just a shift in mentality. A week after the Bucks made this hire, the 76ers hire Kate Scott.
Yep.
We've already seen, you know, Beth Mowins calling some NBA games this year, right, for ESPN. And so it's a trickle-down effect. And I really believe in terms of being ahead in terms of just progress. I think the NBA, it's got to start with professional leagues, in my opinion, whether it's the NBA, whether it's the NFL, whether it's Major League Baseball, because it's going to be a trickle-down effect. And I think the NBA has been at the forefront with a lot of that in terms of just looking like, how can we become more diverse? How can we represent what America looks like in the hires that we make? And it's not just with broadcasters, it's with officials, it's with coaches, it's with front office. And the NBA has sort of take the lead role on that, in my opinion, versus some of the other professional leagues across the country.
Lisa, how much confidence does this Bucks team have going into the season, defending their championship, when you have the likes of the Brooklyn Nets hanging around, the Lakers, potentially Golden State, and other teams coming out of the East?
You know what? It's a great question, and it's something when I sat down next to my broadcast partner, Marcus Johnson, and the first day of training camp, and we're watching them practice. And first of all, out of the gates, they were going 5-on-5. You know, there was no like skill training or anything on day one, which I love to see. So they were going to go after it the second that they hit the court. But I'm sitting next to Marcus Johnson, and he's watched this team so closely in the last few years. And he leans over to me and he says, you know, they just got like this cool, calm, collected swagger to them. Like everything's going to be okay, you know? And you look at the guys, and first of all, their demeanor, it's very even keel, right? With their leaders, from Giannis to Chris Middleton to Drew Holiday. They're not going to be the guys that are going to get too high or too low. And on top of that, so you add that kind of demeanor to your leaders, and then you add a championship where they've already have that under their belt. And I just, you know, they're okay with people picking against them. They're okay with people saying they're the third best team in the East. If I remember right, I think they did okay kind of being the number three seed last year.
Lisa, in game 6 of the NBA Finals versus the Phoenix Suns, Giannis had 50 points, 14 rebounds, and was 17-19 from the free throw line, something that a lot of people criticized him on most of his career. Why do you think this man is still not appreciated the way he should be appreciated in the history of the greats in this game?
Well, because I think he's still really young, you know, and I think he's still really developing. You know, we've seen maybe in the last few games of preseason, and preseason is preseason, right? But I think we even saw flashes of it in their opener against the Nets, that he's constantly working on his outside shot. So there are different pieces. He was not the superstar to come into the league when he was drafted, right? He was undersized. He wasn't as strong. didn't have the kind of skill set that he has now. So each and every year, Jason, he's kind of added to his repertoire of stuff. So we're only scratching the surface right now of what Giannis can do. And I really believe, you know, in the short off season, what we've had like a 90-day off season, but he went back to work and he's worked on that outside shot. And so I think that's just going to be another tool to his toolbox that we'll see a little bit more this year. So we're only seeing the beginning of Giannis. So let's have that conversation maybe, you know, 3 years or 5 years down the line and talk about maybe Giannis as a whole now that he's developed his body mm-hmm. and that he's developed his game a little bit more in the last few years.
Yeah, Lisa, he is relatively young but yet experienced in the NBA, winning MVPs, championships, things of that nature. But yet and still, it feels like, and we've had this conversation all morning long, on people moving the goalposts on Giannis. And it seems like it continues to keep happening, even though we saw the way he played Tuesday night. Now, all of a sudden, it's like, well, he needs to do this, he needs to do that, instead of just saying, well, you know what, he is like one of the top dudes to ever do it.
Yeah, but isn't that what MJ had to face, right, with some of the different parameters? Well, Michael can't do this. Michael can't play defense. Michael can't hit that outside shot consistently. I think we've seen it with LeBron, too. And I think that's just right or for wrong. I think that's just the nature of fandom, right, or covering the league. Like, we're all so cynical of what people cannot do that we don't appreciate what they're doing in front of us right now. And you know what? That's okay. Like, Giannis is fueled by that. And so I think if you asked Giannis, he would say, keep bringing it. Keep telling me what I can't do, and then I'll show you that I can. And that is – when we talk about superstars in the league, whether they are playing right now or in the past, isn't that what has made them great, is when they have tried to prove people wrong? You know, and I think Giannis is right there on the list and doing exactly that.
Lisa Byington, ladies and gentlemen, Bucks TV voice, the first woman to be a full-time play-by-play announcer for NBA games. Thanks for jumping on with us, Lisa. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Lisa. Congratulations.
Thank you. It's a pleasure, guys. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Guys, are the Dallas Cowboys winning in spite of Mike McCarthy?
Gosh.
God, Key loves these kind of topics. That's coming up.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, presented by Progressive Insurance, brought to you by Capital One. Getting paid up to 2 days early with direct deposit is another reason banking with Capital One is one of the easiest decisions in the history of decisions. That's banking reimagined. What's in your wallet?
Hey,
terms
yo!
Apply. See CapitalOne.com/bank, Capital One N.A., member FDIC. All right, the Cowboys continue to win, and yet their coach continues to be criticized. I'm shocked that the Cowboys coach is criticized.
Not me.
Key?
That was a bad play call by the Cowboys coach in overtime. Oh, wait. He wasn't the one who made the call, huh?
So I know Key in our morning meeting begged us. We need to do this topic. I need to talk about whether or not Mike McCarthy, they're winning in spite of Mike McCarthy.
Crazy.
That's it? Just crazy?
People are crazy. They're 5-1. They're 5-1. The dude is doing something right. Stop looking at what happened at the end of the Aaron Rodgers marriage and yesterday in a pandemic.
Can I pose a scenario?
Gosh.
For the sake of moving on from this conversation but still tying it all in together. Let's say Dallas Cowboys have a good year. They win a division. They get to second round of playoffs.
Okay.
And it gets down to a critical juncture in the game where Mike McCarthy does mismanage the clock. And everybody thinks that that's a game that the Cowboys should have won. Mm-hmm. I know this is hypothetical, but we're doing it for the sake of radio. That next day, depending upon how bad the mismanagement of the clock is, how would you feel about where the Dallas Cowboys should go after that? Will you have confidence that they should move forward with a guy like Mike McCarthy, even though they've been they won those games, and they even though there's been slight mismanagements, they still won? Like, where would your mind be after that juncture if that were to hypothetically happen?
Nothing. I wouldn't have.
You'd just be fine? You'd be fine? You'd be like, all right, Mike McCarthy's still our coach moving forward? Would you not think about Kellen Moore?
No.
Okay.
No.
Okay. I think a lot of people would.
Because I don't think he's going – first of all, I don't think that anything that people want to point out and say he mismanaged. So I guess Brandon Staley the other, last Sunday went for it on fourth down, so that was a wrong call. He should have did that, right? He didn't get it, so he shouldn't have did it.
But getting smacked.
Prior to that, he was doing it,
they were getting it.
And then McCarthy backed up. He goes for it. It's a problem. End of the game. He decides to call a timeout. Overtime, kick a field goal. They make it.
Okay.
People that – look, when you have a problem with someone, you will find anything to be, turn it into a negative. And this is what is happening with Mike McCarthy and the Dallas Cowboys. People are waiting for the bottom to fall out. As I said the other day, I don't give a damn. I'm going to the Super Bowl regardless. I will be there. I don't need the Cowboys to go to the Super Bowl. I'm going. I have no rooting interest. But I do know when you start trying to find the littlest things to create a problem for a coach that is winning is ridiculous.
Right. This is why I like Jay's question. And give me a second here because I need to explain where I'm coming from. No. Key, you're a very intelligent person.
Really? I need you to tell me that?
Well, I don't know if you need me to, but since I'm the guy who decides these things, maybe it's good that I say that. Now, the point is that sports can become almost like a religious argument. What do I mean by that? When we were arguing MJ against LeBron before, no amount of facts from either side is going to change your mind. That means you have an undisprovable hypothesis. Science is about you come up with a hypothesis that you can disprove. Right? If the evidence goes against you, you go, okay, we were wrong about this. Sports is much more like religion in that we believe things. No matter what amount of evidence, this is what I believe, you're not going to make me feel any different. So when Jay brings up the clock management, being an intelligent sports, not only former athlete at a very high level, but fan now and media member, Jay is saying, what if the evidence comes in? What an author, not to mention an acclaimed author of important books about social justice in the sports arena. But and that's for real. The Forgotten First. Check it out by Keyshawn Johnson. The point is that if Jay is saying if there's now a new piece of evidence later, do you have a religious point of view about this? I believe what I believe, and that's how I believe. Or are you more of a scientist about this? Here's a new piece of evidence. This is going to change my thinking. If Mike McCarthy mismanages the clock and they lose in the playoffs, does that piece of evidence factor into your judgment?
Yes. But I don't believe that that will be the case. I don't believe that. It's, again, I could go back to baseball. very astute in baseball, played the game. If something happens in the second inning, by the time we get to the eighth inning and the game is over, you never hear the announcer say what happened in the second inning, even though he said this is going to cost the team. If you can pick holes in many different cases, I can right now, the greatest coach that I've ever seen do it in Bill Belichick, I can go to a game and say to you, if they didn't go for, if they would have gone for, if they would have punted here rather than go for it and miss it, they would have won the game if they'd have just punted. I can do that. That was mismanagement. Bill Belichick, I don't remember exactly what year it was. Several years ago, they played the Indianapolis Colts. They go for it. Kevin Falk barely misses the first down by that much. If they would have punted, they probably could have won the game because three and out, Tom Brady gets the ball back. They're in a better field position. You can couch it any way you want to. I just don't understand why do we have to poke holes in a team that has run five in a runoff.
You do understand because they're the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, but that's ridiculous, though. Yeah,
but it's not ridiculous.
Yes, it is. It's ridiculous.
It's not ridiculous. I hear your reasoning about why you think it's ridiculous because, you know, look, we should treat them like every other team. The fact is, like, they are the most talked about team probably in the history of sports. Right, we talk about them even when they've been down. Like, they still dominate conversations, regardless of whether people like it or not. Like, they are the hot subject every single year. So that's why I say I know you don't believe it will happen, but if it does,
well, then I'll deal with it when it does.
Fair. I know you
will. I'm not about to keep on every day.
Yeah, I know.
Talking about the same damn thing about, oh, you know, he mismanaged the game. They just won. The hell's wrong with people?
This is, Jay, I think, makes another good point in the sense, Key, that
good
everyone wants people to be looking at them, right? Like, the Cowboys like the shine. They like the attention. They like the press. It means bigger business. You're more famous if you play for them, et cetera. But when people look at you, criticism, the idea that we can all critique people is based on the idea that a cat can look at a king. Like, no matter what you say, oh, who are you to judge that person? I'm just a cat. I can look at a king and make my own judgment. The Cowboys are the king of football media coverage.
I hope they go 16-1.
A lot of cats are
going to
judge
them. 80. Just because it makes no sense.
But
let
them
lose because of him. And then we can have that conversation. Until then, miss me with that. Get us out of here, Max.
Why tonight might be the most important game of Baker Mayfield's career. He's not even playing in it. KJM on ESPN Radio, and now moving to ESPN News.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.